Hey, welcome to Mentally Chill. I am hanging out at the Improv with Mike Carano.
I'm not doing this shit show.
You are my favorite person.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles.
I appreciate that, but my self-esteem is so low that I don't believe you.
But that's why you're my favorite person. If you had high self-esteem, I would not like you.
High self-esteem.
Is that a term?
Do people say high self-esteem? I like it.
Before I really get going, I'm trying to listen to other podcasts and pick up little things to do.
Why?
Here
they're
and
all
there.
Garbage.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm so bitter today. I'm so angry. I'm so fucked up.
It's perfect.
It's a culmination of I stopped going to meetings, I stopped meditating, and I stopped taking my drugs 3 months ago, and I feel better. Like, I feel like I'm more alive, but it's all really a big misappropriated F you to all those places.
Right. But
5.5 years of going to those meetings, I always felt better. And then just one day I went, you know what? F you guys. And I haven't been back.
Yeah. I feel like I need to be on more drugs next to you now that you're off your drugs. You're making me anxious.
I am anxious. I'm angry. I'm losing my shit again. I'm being more frantic, and sometimes it's enjoyable. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
Like driving over the hill and just being mad at everybody and then dredging up old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
How's your road rage?
Do the introduction.
Yeah, I just wanted, okay, so if you guys will rate and comment, that would be amazing, and tell a friend mm-hmm. about the show, even though you probably don't have friends because you're depressed and you're like Mike and I.
Yeah.
But try to make a friend, just tell them about the show.
But what I recommend is you go out and have random unprotected sex with strangers, because that normally alleviates your anger towards the world and your low self-esteem and your depression.
Does it? Does that work for you?
I don't know.
You haven't tried it?
No.
You should take your own
advice. I have thought of it, but I don't think I don't feel I'm in a position to actually make that happen.
Okay, so this bothers me. You are amazing.
Thank you.
So I met you. I feel like I'm going to do this now with all my guests. I'm going to tell people how I met them. You don't remember this, but I was doing a show. I was on a show at the Improv mm-hmm. here on the main stage.
I absolutely remember that because I had a crush on you. I thought
you thought I was like this hippie chick. Like,
yeah.
And
no,
I'm so not.
Remember.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
But you took pictures of me, and while I was doing my set, I saw you take pictures, and I was like, oh, sweet. I need pictures. So mm-hmm. I'm going to hunt him down. But you looked so cool to me. I was so intimidated.
Thank you.
I was like, I'm going to go up to this like cool improv photographer and ask for these pictures. And he's going to be like, you're a nobody. No, I'm not sending you those pictures.
Can you imagine somebody having the balls? I'm a photographer that works for this evil company, and you're a nobody.
But that's the person who would have high self-esteem. But anyway, so at the end,
holy moly, is your screen filthy dirty?
Ew, isn't it so dirty?
What is on there?
I don't know how to clean it.
It looks like makeup.
It is probably makeup because I wear too much of it. But after the show, you were leaving
mm-hmm.
and I had to muster up all of my strength.
That's so bizarre to me because mm-hmm. I think I'm such a pile of garbage, zero.
Well, you are, but yeah. I didn't know that at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, yeah. Once you break through the veneer of drunken, fake coolness,
right? Which isn't a pile of garbage somehow.
I've heard
you can really get to the real garbage underneath.
My ex-girlfriend told me that, and I still to this day, I was like, I don't. She goes, I was so hard for me to talk to you because you seem like you were popular and everyone
well,
liked
you.
You
seem like this like cool music guy so, who's
well,
like.
It's all trickery. Like,
I know.
For her, it was because we were on the set of a movie, and I happened to be friends with the director and the star of the movie, and everybody
right.
came flocking around because I'm friends with them when I showed up. And then she, who became my girlfriend, was just like, oh my God, this guy
yeah.
must be important because everybody knows him. But that's not it at all. It's simply,
then
oh, there's
like,
someone
am I even
know.
Dating this guy?
He yeah.
Why am I even dating this guy? He's not as cool as I thought he was.
Yeah.
But
well, eventually that happened.
But I was like, can I have those pictures? And mm-hmm. you were like, and you did not do this to hurt my feelings, but you were like, oh, I was just like practicing on you. Those were just like test shots. You're like, they'll
yeah.
probably be terrible or bad. And I was like, I have no standards. I'm like, I don't care. I need them. So you gave me your email address.
If anyone wants to buy those photos, MikeCarano.com.
And they turned out good. I mean, I was in them, so they weren't that good.
I'm a terrible photographer. I'm bad.
Well, let me introduce you. So people, okay. You're not as famous as you might think. So not everyone listening knows who you are.
Oh, is this going to be one of those things where we like put each other in our place?
Yeah, no. that's why I invited you here. I got to bring Mike Carano down to earth.
You do.
I do.
Both of us have.
We're both not on earth, but like we're not in great places otherwise.
We both have almost the exact same issues. And unfortunately, some of them are uncomfortable to talk about. And one of them is we think we're special.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I can tell people, you're not special, you're not special, you're not special, I still kind of go like, eh, I'm kind of special.
Yeah.
But it's bullshit, and it really is the bringer. It really fucks with you, because you're constantly in this struggle to try to
One of
just,
the best memes I've ever seen, it was a long time ago, but it said...
Such a thin thing to bring up.
After don't embarrass me for bringing up a meme.
One of the best poems I've read. One of the best pieces of classical music.
A meme is
one of the best memes.
This generation's poem.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
But holy shit,
meme haiku.
If it really is, there's way too many poets.
It really is.
Can you imagine?
We don't have to imagine. It's real.
No, but if there were as many poets as there were people making memes.
No, but, oh, God, what
day,
a terrible world we live in.
Hey, you want to hear my poem? Do you want to hear mine?
So much snapping all day. Just that's all you hear in the background all day long, or just subtle snaps.
Well, that would be the 60s.
Oh, God.
Did that start earlier than that?
The 60s? I don't know.
Because wasn't that like a beat thing? Like, hey, baby.
Yeah, it was probably started with like, maybe more like blues or something. No.
Jazz, maybe?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, me neither.
Don't get me looking stupid.
That hasn't stopped
me.
Hey, that's my whole life is shooting my big mouth off.
I know.
And judging other people for being dumb, and then turning out that I'm the dumbest one of all.
But you're not. But you are. But you're not. But let me tell you the meme.
Okay.
So the meme was something like, I'm not going to say it right, but it was something like, I hate myself, but I also think I'm the greatest. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly my problem. Yeah. 100%. I hate myself. I think I'm the worst. I understand why people don't like me. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm the best.
Yeah. Dr. Drew summed it up with comedians really well. He goes, it's pretty much, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm a piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, it has a name, but I don't know what it is. I've heard it from like professionals.
When I first kind of, after I met you and I had gotten those pictures, I assumed you were also a stand-up comedian.
No.
Just from your energy. But that's what's weird about comedians today to me is that like they are the ones, not everyone, but I feel like we're in this time of stand-up where people doing it have actual self-esteem, whereas the real people who should be
people.
The actual comics aren't doing it because they don't have enough self-esteem.
Yeah.
So it's like an irony. And I feel like me and you, because I'm not doing that much stand-up, and it's like me and you, I feel like, are way more a typical comedian personality than any of the comedians that are up at the Improv
I agree. In fact, it
bothers me.
It bothers me that I'm turning into Old Man Carano, for one, because this could just be ignorance
turning,
on my part.
You are Old Man Carano.
I know. Like, you bastard. You bastard. God damn it. But here's my thing with comics. Like, I wander through the open mic night often. I'm in the showroom a lot. And I still love the art form. I'm done. I mean, I don't ever have to watch another comic again, unless it's something exceptional, like a Bill Burr, or when Chris Rock comes through. Of course, I go to those shows.
Or me.
Or you. I haven't seen you in a long do stand up in a long time.
I don't think
you've
ever. Oh yeah, you did see me when you. I haven't been doing it a lot. I haven't gotten up on stage in about 6 months.
I'm starting to become this curmudgeon-y guy that is like, if this isn't your life, get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And I mean that.
You like, mean in terms of a comedian? Like if comedy isn't their life?
You come to a typical show here and you could pick, let's say there's 10 comics on the show. 7 of those people are just doing it.
Yeah.
And those aren't the people I want to give time to. I want to give time to the people who, this is it and there's nothing else I do. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'll be doing this when I'm 80.
It's because I'm terrible at everything else.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm doing this so I can get some attention right now and get laid now and maybe get a TV show and then I can do whatever I want to do. It's like, no, that's not. Yeah, I want the art. There's artists and then there's class clowns. Big difference.
Totally.
And it's the same with music. I don't need to go see your band that sounds just like Led Zeppelin when I already have Led Zeppelin.
Right. I was voted class clown. And I am so embarrassed of that.
I'm embarrassed that I used that phrase. Oh no!
But
I'm sorry.
No. But it always kind of embarrassed me because I'm like, I'm so much better than that. But I was voted best clown, or best hair.
Those
which I feel
good.
Like you would have been.
Ones. Two
yeah,
good
but
ones.
I turned down. I had to pick, and so I turned down.
Wait, what?
I picked class clown because I wanted to be known
no,
more as funny.
Being a class clown is way better than being voted best hair because one you have control over, the other one you had nothing to do with it.
And that's the thing. I actually mentioned this on a show that I did recently. Models, they're so proud, but it's like you didn't do anything to earn that body. You were born with that body.
It's okay. Life.
Stop being proud of yourself.
Yeah, we know life is not fair. Well, hey, forgive me if I offend you, but I don't really know where you stand on this. But every time
nothing
I see people
me.
Posting about their birthdays, I'm like, you know, why don't you fuck off? Because you had nothing to do with that. You're trying to get some squeeze some attention out of everybody.
Yeah. Well, I've said that parents should be the ones celebrated on your birthday, not you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've always said I should say happy birthday to my mom when it's my
birthday.
And
the card should be a vivid description of the uncomfortable, weird sex they had that conceived you.
Well,
your dad was drunk. Some people would call it rape, but really, I was...
Right. Well, I was in that camp for a long time where I'm like, don't tell people it's your birthday. It's super obnoxious. But as someone needing attention in their life, so I'll find a way to do it where I self-deprecate about it. So... like, I think I posted like a picture and I'm like, I'm not telling anyone that it's my birthday today because only losers do that. So it's like, I'll find a way to do it while making fun of doing
it. Yeah. I'm with you on the trying to slyly act. I'm really good at acting like things were super easy when I put a lot of work into it.
Right.
And like, I didn't overthink it, but I did overthink. It's a total fraud. Bullshit.
Yeah. My style, well, a long time, not that I have that much style, but it used to be putting tons of effort in to look like I put no effort in.
Yeah. Oh, me too. That's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Like us right now. This took me 4 hours. I'm just kidding. I should definitely have better results if this took 4 hours. I'm wearing white ankle socks and these pants that I wear every day because it's hot and I don't know what else to wear.
You don't have to make an excuse.
I'm not making excuses. I promise.
I'm wearing literally dirty clothes. I'm unshowered. I can smell my disgusting body odor.
I can't.
Good. Well, it's probably turning you on because it's pheromones.
I am super turned on right now.
Really?
No. Well, I am actually turned on by the fact that you're wearing a shirt that looks like Disney.
Sorry.
And it's not. It says Church of Corano.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Magic Castle, but as a church.
Yeah.
And you're obsessed with Disney.
I was
obsessed with Disneyland. Or is this
I went to Disneyland 4 or 5 times a week for probably 20 years.
I know. I can't.
Yeah.
You
saw my living room.
You are such a character.
My living room that has the Star Trek set in there.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Star
and
Trek.
And I used to wear shorts nonstop, and people would ridicule me for it on the other podcast. So I was on Loveline, and Dr. Drew said, how are you doing? And I immediately went, which is a mistake, being so negative. I went, I'm fucked. I go, my head is spinning. I'm anxiety ridden. I'm one bump away from starting a teenage sex cult, and I'm dead serious. I go, I'm dead serious. And he goes, I think you could do it. And one of our great listeners, Scott, whipped this up in like
amazing.
5 minutes and sent it to me.
That's amazing. I'm going to take a picture of it and post it on Instagram.
You don't need to do that.
Okay, so you're like an enigma to me. You, like, I've known you
That's
now for a little
American.
While. Yes. They were... I was trying to think of a joke.
So was I, and I failed first.
I
screwed
up. Thanks.
And then I sent you into a tailspin. Sorry about that.
Damn it. Well, the reason is I'm thrown off because there's a book right there that actually says it, Enigma.
You don't want to look at these books because last night we were doing the other podcast and I was laying here and I'm looking at that one that says to the fat flush plan. The whole time I'm like, do I need to flush fat? Because I feel like I've never been fatter, but I kind of don't care.
You're not a fat person.
That is
you have some skin. No. All right. You've got like... not abs, but that's fine.
Oh, it's more of an insult.
Okay, wait. All right, so let me see.
This didn't happen.
You don't have a gut. You just don't have abs.
And somebody goes, your hair looks like abs, and I was like, it does.
Oh yeah, it is in the pattern of abs.
Yeah,
it is.
On my back, it looks like ribs.
But I really was.
I don't have hair on my back.
I was trying to think of a joke with the Enigma thing, but literally it says the Lincoln Enigma, and so I could. Lincoln threw me off because I couldn't make a joke about Lincoln being black. Anyway, or I could. He liked black people.
Do you remember
the
Enigma?
That's maybe why it's called. No.
How old are you? Do you not want to say?
34. No, I say.
God, you're so young. I'm so old. No.
For my achievements,
hey,
I'm so young. Or I have no achievements.
Nope.
For the age I am, I should have way more achievements than I do.
You know what you're doing? And I do this as well. And this is something that's got to stop somehow. Whether it requires a lobotomy, electroshock therapy,
probably.
Some reason this has to stop is us comparing ourselves to other people because you can never, ever win.
No.
You can never win.
But that's almost why I do it. It's like in a way I don't want to win. Even though I want to win, I'm so used to not winning.
But wouldn't you, if there was somebody like you that you loved, that you truly loved, wouldn't you just want them to enjoy their day?
Of course.
Yeah.
But.
I know. I know, but.
You and I have very similar brains.
Yeah.
So Are you on antidepressants or anything?
No, I quit taking everything like 3 months
ago. Oh, yeah, you just said that. Yeah. What were you taking?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I never read it.
You never read it?
No.
You didn't go to the pharmacy and they were like, you're so
Kristen,
and so's ready.
I'm not joking and I'm not trying to be eccentric. I never looked at it. I got into a heated debate with my new therapist about it last week. And she goes, I need you to send me a picture of what you were taking. And I did.
Did
she goes, that's fine that you stopped taking that. It was an anti-anxiety. It was something everyone's heard of.
Okay, but it wasn't an antidepressant.
It was an antidepressant, anti-anxiety something. But I don't know my zip code. And I've lived there for 4.5 years.
Mike, how do you not know your zip code?
I swear to God I don't know it.
Do you not write your address
ever? I think it's 916 something. Never. I get zero mail.
That is so weird.
Not
what about when? No, okay. You said you bought an electric bike online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had to put in your billing address.
Yeah, the Improv. Here.
Oh,
it got
God.
Shipped here because
oh my God,
it barely fit in the back of my Outback, and I mean barely. And that car is kind of a big station wagon, a medium sized like station wagon.
So my ex boyfriend didn't know his mm-hmm. mom's maiden name, and that weirded me out.
That is weird.
But you not knowing your zip code weirds me out even more.
There's stuff I don't know that's way weirder than that, and I can't remember what it. I can't remember.
You don't know what you don't know.
But there's some stuff that I never bothered to know, and people think I'm trying to fuck with them, and they're like, what's this? And I'm like, I don't know. What about this? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing about you, too. So when I met you, I thought you were going to be the type that would try to be eccentric to be eccentric, but you're not. You're just eccentric naturally.
Not.
That's why you're cool.
I don't want to be weird. Like, I don't want to be... You know what I want to be? Is I want to be comfortable in my own skin, and I'm absolutely not. And I'm afraid...
But you look very comfortable in your own skin.
I'm comfortable with you, but I had a period of a few years where I thought, this is really nice getting old because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be intimidated. And then all of a sudden, the last 6 or 7 months, I found myself flustered in front of girls. I found myself nervous around people. I found myself showing up to social events and not being able to...
And this was still while you were on your medication?
This is off the medication, but...
But that's probably why.
Maybe, but... Maybe that's just how I'm supposed to be, because there's times where I'll show up to something and I start off on the wrong foot and I just go, this night's fucked. I should just walk out the door.
Yeah.
I did it recently. I did it at Dr. Drew's birthday party. Uh-huh. It was at some fancy pants restaurant right down the street.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go. I didn't want to have to talk to all these people, all these show busy people and all these fucking other people. And I thought, I have to go. Yeah. I can't just go. I didn't go to your birthday because I didn't want to. I walked in the door of the restaurant. He was very excited that I was there. And I announced to the table, I hate stuff like this. I'm leaving. I just wanted to say happy birthday. And he goes, well, let's go have a little chat for a few minutes and just like, catch up. And I went, okay. And we went and sat in the corner and talked for 15 minutes. And I got up and walked out the door. And it was like a weight lifted off my shoulder. I was like, that was so great. I don't have to sit there and do this bullshit fucking waste of everybody's time game. Now, granted, if it's one of those situations where I can be the center of attention, I'm like... Where's everybody
right,
going?
Right.
They don't close till 2.
What if it was your birthday? Are you good with people around you on your birthday? I get very uncomfortable if I have my own birthday party.
I dare you to ask anybody you can ever come across when my birthday is.
You probably
is.
Don't even know your own birthday.
I know my birthday.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I've never celebrated it. I've gotten into fights with people who were trying to push celebrating
mm-hmm.
it on me.
Mm-hmm.
And my last birthday, we did a live podcast here. And I didn't tell anybody, but someone brought it up when we were on stage. And it was just a non-issue.
How did they know it was your birthday?
I don't know. Stalker weirdos, you know?
Is it on... Do you have a Facebook?
No.
You don't have Facebook,
do
you?
But people... It's not that hard to figure. People have posted pictures of my driveway.
Really?
Yeah. It's not funny.
Okay, sorry.
But Tara was like, do you know somebody's posting pictures of your driveway on the internet?
Oh, that is crazy.
And I was like, I don't even know what to do about that.
Well, it is insane because I typed in... I was getting nervous. I have this dude on Instagram who just won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I searched my name... Kristen, you know, and my address came right up. Literally, my actual address.
Are you concerned?
Or is he
just a pest?
Well, he lives in like Finland or something, and I think he's just a pest. But
how come it's so much scarier when they live in another country? Well, you're like, for sure they're coming over here.
Right. Well, I don't think it's as scary because it's like that's effort to get here. If he lived in down the street, I'd be totally freaked out.
But it doesn't.
You'd have to buy a plane ticket. I mean, that's a lot of work.
Okay, I'm very wrong in this judgment about stalking and stalkers, but it seems like the farther away they are, the scarier they are. I know that's wrong.
Well,
your next door neighbor could want to strangle you.
Right. But it is, in a way, it could be creepier with them far away because they found you somehow
mm-hmm.
from that many miles away. So if they can find you from that many miles away online, what means that they can't, come here to find you? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's not hard. First of all, it's not hard to find people.
No, it's not. And I contacted White Pages and had them take my
and they did it?
Address down. And I'm pretty sure it's off of everything because I've searched it and I can't find it. But who knows? He might be really good at it.
He
stalks Stevie. And it's really weird because he had my picture posted on his Instagram page, like not private, like a year and a half ago or something.
Yeah.
And so I saw my picture on his page. He doesn't follow anyone and doesn't have any followers. But now his page is private, but I screenshotted my picture on his Instagram page. He had like stolen it off mine. And anyway, at that point, Stevie and I didn't work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her about him and she's like, oh yeah, he stalks me too. And this was before we ever worked together.
So did he start stalking you? No, wow.
So it's so
weird. What
are
the odds of that?
Exactly. It's so weird.
Wow.
And because I said, oh, he must have come over from once we started the podcast, he must have then found out who I was through you.
Yeah.
But then I realized it's the same person from like a year and a half ago before Stevie and I ever even hooked up. And so it's just super creepy because he was sending her the same messages he was sending me.
Can you find out if he's doing it to other people as well?
I mean, I could put it out there, but I mean, I can't ask him.
Because, you know, sometimes like my ex-girlfriend has those kind of people. And if you look at like their Instagram page, they're flooding a lot of similar looking people with,
yeah,
this,
well,
know.
Stevie and I think had somewhat of a similar look. I can't compare myself to her because she was so insanely beautiful, but we both have dark hair and longer faces.
You're insanely beautiful.
Well, Spanx. That's why I brought you here. But I wouldn't doubt if he had a specific look or something like that. But it's funny because he's so mentally ill that I should have him on the podcast because it's about mental illness.
Yeah, but that's
and it's
not
like,
really how it
but
works.
But he's so legit mentally ill.
Hi,
like,
welcome to my serial killer podcast. Yeah. This is John Doe.
I mean, there's different levels.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, he might be on the extreme level, but he'll send stuff. Like, he always talks about how much he hates the USA.
Yeah.
And finally, I commented. I try to just ignore it all, but I
me
commented.
Too.
I have nothing to do with the laws in the USA as much as you don't.
Yeah.
So just, like, back up off. But anyway, hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast, and this doesn't give him more, this isn't fanning his flames.
Of course he's going to listen to this.
I'm like, yeah, he'll just stalk my Instagram. Of course he doesn't listen
fanning
to my podcast.
Fanning his finished flames. There's a lot. I get it, too, because I've wanted to stalk people. Not stalk them necessarily, but like look them up and everything.
Yeah.
I think that comes with old age, too, where I just don't.
Oh, because it's too hard.
Well, because I've met people and they're like, did you Google me? I'm like, no. Was I supposed?
Well, it's a
why
lot.
Would I Google you?
It takes effort. Eventually it's like, eh.
But I didn't realize that people do that.
Yeah.
Like people meet somebody and they rush right to Google. If I was 20 or 25, I would do that immediately. But now it doesn't occur to me. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's definitely this generation. And like, I meet people on dating apps and like, I try to get, you know, they'll only have their first name. So it's like Rob. And then like, he works at so-and-so company. So I'll like Google this company with
his
name.
Is his last name you?
But they won't have his.
I'm so sorry. I gotta fuck.
Take all
Start
my money.
Over.
Take
Start
all
over.
My money. When did I invite my dad onto
dating?
This podcast?
How's that dating thing going?
Oh my God, it's terrible.
What? But there seems to be something going down because
no.
You keep doing it.
Yeah, no, I'm giving up.
But what do you want?
I want to get married and have kids.
Oh, I thought you just wanted like a quick sexual
gratification. No, I really want to get married. I didn't want to until like a year ago. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh.
Well, it does cross into I had an ex-girlfriend.
I'm lonely now, so.
Yeah. I had an ex-girlfriend who didn't just turn like, I might be a lesbian, went full blown. I'm gay now.
Is this Tara?
No. Cut off flannel shirt.
Oh my God.
Butch haircut.
Yeah.
Got the tattoos. But we remained friends.
And wasn't that way before?
Not at
just
all.
Just did a whole style change.
No, she was
change.
Like a punk rocker. She was cool.
Okay, so I tried to do a stand-up bit on, I haven't said it in so long that I can't really remember, but I say, what comes first? Like, what happens first? The lesbian or the body? Like, do you just, are you born with that body? And you're like, well, I guess I have no choice but to become a lesbian.
Because
they all have very similar body types.
And they also have, God, I'm going to cause problems with this.
I said to
Dr. Drew, in my uneducated, ill-informed way, I said, how come most of the gay men that I know, that I'm friends with, I said, I've got a handful of very butch lesbian friends.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were molested or raped.
Ooh.
And I said, how come most of my gay male friends, that's not the case? And he said, that does happen to be with a percentage. He goes, a lot of people, a lot of women just give up on men and switch, and where men are born more like, okay, I can't put words in her, in his right. mouth, because right now someone's getting infuriated and I shouldn't be talking about it as a straight guy that yeah. doesn't pay attention to other people's lives. but most of the women I know that
it's
are
more of a choice,
those kind of lesbians.
Is what you're
yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
I can see that, because I've been, I mean, I've been dating
no,
only
I,
for
I,
about
I don't
a
even
year.
Know if
it's
I'm
a
saying.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
But, I could see how you'd switch.
But this girlfriend, I won't even talk about our ugly falling out, which came out of nowhere. But we were friends for...
It was the haircut, right?
More
you
than
just
10
cut her off.
Years.
You're like, I can't with this
we
haircut.
Were good friends for at least 10 or 15 years after we broke up. And one day she flew out here and she wanted to hang out. And I was like, of course. And she goes, here's the deal. I want a baby, and I want a baby now, and I want you to be the father.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to pay anything. You don't even have to know about it. And she goes, and if you don't do it, I'm just going to go pick up a guy in a bar, and I'm going to get laid, and I'm going to have a baby. And I was like,
wow.
Let me think about it for a couple of days. And my nephew had just been born. This is exactly 12 years ago. And I loved that guy so much.
Yeah.
And I just went, there's no way that right now, because maybe a year before that I would have done it, because who cares? But the fact of the matter is, now that I understand, I couldn't live with myself knowing that I have a kid living
right.
in Albuquerque.
Right.
And I'm out here being a selfish dude. Like, I can just be me, selfish guy without a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to be selfish while not ruining someone else's
yes.
life.
But she did just what she said. She went and just found some guy to have sex with her. She has,
wow.
you know, she's probably got a 10-year-old now.
Wow, she's a badass. I mean, that takes a lot of...
With the emphasis on bad
yeah.
person.
Really? So you guys had a falling out after
she's
that? Was
so
she mad you didn't do it with
we
her?
Had a huge falling out because I had a breakdown one night when she was staying with me, not too long ago.
Well, tell me about your breakdowns.
Some are brutal. Some are not so much. Some are just... I let something spin out of control in my head.
And
I was trying to think about that on the drive over here. I was like, what do I really have? Because my head is spinning. It won't stop. And I want to make crystal clear. I'm not trying to mislead people into, I'm so smart, I can't stop thinking. It's moronic stuff. Now, when I was drinking, it was all night going home with regrets for why did I say that to her? Why did I do that to her? Why did I do this? Why did I say that? Now, that's much, much less, the regrets. But I still dwell on nothing topics. Nothing topics.
Right.
And, I was just trying to make a decision as not make a decision, but come to a conclusion. Of course I have depression but it's not nearly as frequent as it was when I was a child. And I don't know if that's the age setting in. I'm still anxiety ridden.
What are you,
50? 51.
51.
I'm filled with anger, like to a point where it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like it's flat. It's not funny. It's not cool. It's like, oh, look at him. He's the angry guy. It's pathetic. I'm angry over fucking nothing all the time. I'm angry because I'm a hypocrite. I'm angry because I'm gutless to make the changes I want to make. I see in other people what I see in me, and I hate them for it. Hate them, hate them, hate them. And the depression, though, when that sets in, because I did have a couple depressing days 2 weeks ago when I just gave up here and drove out to Palm Springs, and I checked into a cool hotel, and I was just going to have dinner and go swimming and do the sauna and stuff. And I got so sad and so lonely.
Yeah.
And I called my ex-girlfriend. She goes, you sound terrible. And I go, I shouldn't be terrible. I go, nothing is wrong. And I'm out here. And it was just like 20 hours of back to that cloudy feeling of, what am I doing here? And I don't want to be here. And you know when it's real. Like if you think about doing something about it. I've only had a couple of experiences where I was like, this is it. This is the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like I got to call someone to get some help. It was like, I'm not calling anybody.
Right. Well, that's what,
this
yeah.
is not about calling people, and I don't want people to intervene. And I had a fucking, I had a circumstance once. Do we talk about this? I don't know.
I don't know.
I was going to drive off and over.
What?
I was just like, it's a culmination. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This, I've done nothing with my life. I see no light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. I see no reasons. I'm sad. I'm lonely. It's just constantly sad. I wasn't angry with anybody. It was just like, I've done a million things. None of them make me content. I don't feel like I'm doing what I should be doing. I don't think I'll ever have the guts to do whatever it is that I should be doing, which is true.
What do you think you should be doing?
I don't know. I do a million little things,
right.
A million little things.
And they don't add up to anything big in your mind.
They don't add up to, you know what I long for is I long for that thing where you hear people go, I love what I do. This is all I want to do. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
I don't
is.
Know if I have that brain, if I could ever love anything.
But
I mean,
when I see some guy who's just like, all I want to do is be a guitar player. This is all right. I love. I'm like, I want that.
Right.
I want to have one thing. Like, this is what I do, and this is what brings me joy. And then maybe I make money with it. Maybe I don't, but I need that one thing. Point is, I was driving around in I lived in San Diego. I was driving around in Orange County. Had an office in Brea. And I was like, it was a Sunday morning. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen right now. And I was just, and my phone rings, and it's my doctor. And he goes, is there any way you can print some pictures for my mother's birthday today? It's an emergency. I forgot to get her a gift. And I will come to you. And I started sobbing.
Oh.
And he drove to Orange County, gave me a Xanax, and took me out to lunch. And then I printed the pictures.
So it was good timing.
It was.
He basically stopped you from killing yourself. Is that what
you're saying? Know if I was really going to do it, but it felt like.
Right.
It felt like I don't see tomorrow.
Well, let me say this because of what happened.
That was a long time
ago. And
yeah.
The regrets that I have. Don't ever fucking kill yourself.
I don't think I'm going to.
The thing is, it's so frustrating because it's, you just said, I don't think I'm going to, but just don't.
No, I don't feel like I don't feel like I'm going.
I know, but you're like, I don't think I'm going to.
I think
to,
I will kill myself,
definitive.
But it'll be an accident. It'll be an accident.
What do you mean?
Just something dumb, because I put myself in dumb situations trying to make funny videos and stuff.
Oh my God. It's so frustrating because it's like, not that I'm saying anyone should kill themselves, but the people who kill themselves are the people that shouldn't freaking kill themselves.
Well,
it's
yeah,
like,
but.
Because the thing is, it doesn't matter when you're in that mind frame what you bring for other people. Because you don't, that's not, you're in your own mind. You're not concerned with the person in Omaha that listens to your podcast. It's going to be sad that you're gone. You're not concerned about them. But the reality is you should be concerned about them because you bring joy to so many people.
You have like a responsibility?
It's like if you're finding no reason to live, at least live because you don't want to fuck other people up. Like you don't.
But,
and I know it doesn't feel like enough in the moment.
You're justifying it on paper, but that's not the reality of it.
There's no paper here.
But you're justifying it. All right, at least
I don't see any.
Took over the mantle for worst attempt at a joke.
Bad dad jokes.
Logically, you're right, but the emotion of it.
I know.
That's like saying, oh, I'm drunk at a bar. And I shouldn't have sex with this super hot. No, I'm talking about the businessman's perspective. Like I'm in Las Vegas at a bar drunk and I shouldn't do this. And then because I have a wife at home or something. And then your hormones just
everything
go,
else takes
that
over.
Makes no sense.
Right.
We're doing it.
Believe me, I know. Because I've been in those really dark places where nothing matters. And that's why it's so weird where it's like, call the suicide hotline. It's like, well, you're not in the frame of mind that is thinking logically that if you're like, oh no, I'm going to hurt myself. The last thing you're thinking is let me look up that phone number to call and have someone help me. Cause you don't want help. You're so checked out and you're so done, but it's in. So there's nothing really anyone can do. But again, from the Stevie experience that I've had, Stevie knew I didn't think she should ever kill herself, but I didn't take her by the shoulders and shake her and say, are you fucking nuts? You do not hurt yourself ever.
I hope you're not literally carrying that burden because there is no person that can stop somebody from killing themselves that's going to kill themselves unless it's a police officer that's restraining somebody for the moment.
In the actual moment.
Yeah.
Because then 2 weeks later, that person could go and do it again.
But you're
going to
have
monitoring someone 24/7.
You're going to have flashbacks to that shit all the time because I have many times.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been since Richard Jenny killed himself.
Long time.
But I still have nightmares, and they start with, I got to fucking call Richard Jenny. I haven't called him in like 2 months.
Wow.
And we were like actually friends, not just like acquaintances. And then the next feeling is like, I got to tell him, don't do this.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's 8 years too late.
Yeah.
You know, but I still have that feeling,
right.
And it's a sincere feeling in my heart
right.
that I need to stop this.
Right.
But no one, you know, okay, let's just move right on to, it goes back to the special, not special thing. We all want to feel like we're special. The reality of it is we're just a bunch of fucking people cruising around the planet until we die and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't we just go, she died, he died, she killed herself, this happened to her, I'm moving on. Because Like, why do we torture ourselves so much?
I don't know. It's like, well, that's the struggle, is that I know that our planet is like a speck of dust in the scheme of all of the galaxies.
Well, let's see what you
but
and
somehow
I said here.
All
we
this
both
feels so big.
Yeah, we both feel like we're special and we don't get what we deserve.
Right.
And we fail to recognize. And I'm speaking, assuming that we have the same thoughts, and I believe we do. And they're not pleasant, and it's uncomfortable even bringing it up. But everyone outside this building thinks the same thing.
I know.
And we think they're stupid.
I know.
They're wrong. I'm right.
I know. And that's why.
And that's a catalyst for a lot of people in show business. Like, look how much more special I am. But the fact of the matter is, you're dead. I'm dead. Fuck you. And guess what?
Well, I look back at like I'll go to a museum or something, not a museum, but like I love, I'm going to be in New Hampshire.
That dinosaur thought he was special.
He did.
That caveman thought
he
was special.
Look how big I am. But like, I'll look at, like, I love going to, this is kind of random, but, my favorite place in the world is Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Okay.
It was founded in like 1609. It's one of like the first settlements here. And I love going to little museums there and stuff.
But
and
is it, all so these, why is it your favorite place? Just happy memories or because you like the scenic?
Both. It's like, it looks like it's from 1700 still, but it's okay. Maintained beautifully. And I've been going there since I was, that's where I was conceived.
Oh,
actually.
Wow.
So that was my first memory, was just shooting into my mom's vag.
Wow. Do you have aspirations to move back and move there?
No,
some
I could never live there. It's too slow. But okay. I love going there.
You
I
could
love
start your own fast part of town.
And I could. We go 100
hey,
miles an hour
town
here.
Over
yeah.
here.
If you're not moving fast, you get out.
Get the fuck out, yeah. man. Next.
Right. Which is like going against the whole town's thing, because it's like the size of the roads are for like horse-drawn carriages, mm-hmm. you know. But anyway, it's an amazing little spot. But I'll look at these men that, you know, settled there, yeah. and there's pictures of them, like paintings of them with their big, like, collars on and wigs or whatever, and they looked so self-important, but mm-hmm. it's like, oh my god, you are so dead now. And like everything you did is just like for naught.
How about this? I can't even think of an example that's as bad as the worst one that I can't talk about, but I have decided to set up a scenario in my own head and fucked myself into 100% insomnia for the entire night and being angry at somebody for a scenario that I was mentally experimenting with in my head. But what occurred to me one night in relation to that, because that wasn't what I wanted to talk about, and I'm trying to act like I'm smarter than I really am by bringing it around to what I wanted to say. Okay, why am I doing anything? Because I'm not important. No one's going to remember. I'm just going to end up dead. It starts from there. And then I went, I could walk outside, find some kid on Melrose, a skateboarder. Hey, tell me what you know about William Shakespeare. I don't know, man. Okay, that's William Shakespeare, and you don't care,
right,
and
right,
no one.
Right.
People act like, a very small percentage of the population actually reads him and acts like they care and goes
right.
to plays.
Right.
Other than that, the other 90% are staring at their phones, looking at
William
pictures of themselves. The most of the right. dumb fucks on the planet are walking down the street looking at the phones like there's any important information pertaining to them whatsoever coming through their phone, but they're just staring at it because they're dumb fucking sheep, and I'm one of them, and that my bitterness comes.
So what you're saying is, if they can barely remember
yes.
William Shakespeare, what are they?
Give a shit.
Okay, I said the exact same thing, and I don't know if it's on an episode that aired, because Stevie and I didn't air a couple episodes,
mm-hmm.
but I did say on here, I think it was on the episode where Stevie and I talked about suicide, because I said I couldn't believe that episode didn't air. I said I can't believe, like, when Michael Jackson died,
mm-hmm.
everyone just still had to get up and go to work and
yeah.
keep living their life, and that's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So if he didn't affect my daily
yes.
life,
yes.
I am never
yes.
gonna affect anyone's daily life when
Prince
I'm gone.
Was an afterthought to a bigger story that
right.
day. It was like two things happened. You're like, okay, I guess I'm going to go
well,
to that movie that I was planning on going to this afternoon. And you're like,
right.
wait a minute.
Right.
When I want to hear when Mike Cuerno dies, everything goes
dark. Yeah,
literally
dark. The world stops.
Yes.
Like, that's how I want it
yeah.
to be. But it's like, if Michael Jackson's not going to make a stop,
yeah.
how am I?
Yeah.
And like Farrah Fawcett died the same
yeah.
day that he died. And she literally was like, she was like me. You know,
yeah.
she'd be like an absolute nobody. You forgot about her. And it's like, and she was really famous. So yeah, it just puts it in perspective for me. When I die, literally nothing is going
yeah.
to stop or change.
Now, how do we go to the core of it and fix our attitudes and actually, like, what steps do we need to take? And
to
I'm
not have that thought process?
Because I have a therapist now for the first time in my life.
Oh.
A therapist that, frankly, I
first
can't afford.
Time?
Yeah, $200 an hour. But I will say this much. I do think it's helping, because I just think it's helping.
Clearly, it seems like it's helping.
No, but well, right now I'm in a weird space because of not taking the drugs, and I'm also angry, and my feelings are hurt right now, and a bunch of reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm scared. You know, there's a right now. My head is not. There's so many things, and I let any little like even though she has no obligation whatsoever. But if my ex-girlfriend doesn't call me for 2 or 3 days, I'm irate.
Yeah.
That's my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
We've been broken up for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then I try to find ways to subtly hurt her. Mm. Like
you told me about this
before. I'm leaving town
today.
Yeah. I'm leaving town so that when she calls me to tell me I'm leaving like Saturday morning, which is normally the time I take care of the cat, I'll be like, I'm out of town. I don't know what you're going to do.
You're like George Costanza with the less spite. Like he will go, there was one episode where he... like said he had a house in like France or something, and the people knew he was lying, but he just kept going with it.
Yeah.
To see who would go further with this to get each other back. Like he would literally go buy a house in France.
Yeah.
Just to be able to get them back.
I don't want to repeat myself 12 hours later, but I told the story last night how it's such a weight lifted off my shoulders when I stopped lying like 20 years ago. But I would lie, and I don't have the balls to follow through on just keeping the lie in my head, so I would work to cover the lie with the truth.
Hmm.
I had a girl, kind of a stalkery situation, who worked at the Improv in San Francisco, and we would chat on the phone every single night, business reasons. I'd call to see how many tickets they sold.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would flirt and go back and forth, and it turns out I wasn't attracted to her when I saw her, even though she's...
You had never seen her before. No, you ever
there was
spoke
no
on
internet.
Phone?
No,
oh,
she
wow.
showed up at the door and said, "I just left my fiance. I think we're soulmates."
Oh,
yeah, I'm
oh
not
my God.
At the door of the Improv in San Diego.
No,
and I was like, "I'm sorry, I don't think we're soulmates." And it
was this just based off physical? Like you saw her and you're just like weren't into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she was beautiful, but not my type at all.
So you didn't hang out for a few weeks, and then you
didn't
said
hang
it.
Out
you
at
literally
all.
Just said it.
No,
oh my
fact,
God!
In
wow.
fact, I said, "Let me give you a ride back to your hotel," and she.
She's like, what
was
kind
so
of ride?
Was so upset. That's right. Mount me in the car while I drive you back to your hotel. Because this is the only place I can get off is when I'm in super danger on the freeway. It got really weird and uncomfortable.
That is a nightmare, my personal
she
nightmare.
She got out of my car on the freeway and walked back to the hotel. But I still think to this day we're friends, even though I haven't spoken to her in 20 years.
Yeah.
But we're friendly, I'm sure. And she's a very sweet person, and I understand where her head was at. The point was, she went, like 6 months after that, I'm coming to L.A. this weekend. Let's hang out. And I went, I can't. Or I'm coming to San Diego this weekend. Let's hang out. I can't. I'm going to see Phantom of the Opera in L.A. That was the lie. I picked up the phone, called the Amundsen Theater, and bought myself a $100 ticket in 1992 to Phantom of the Opera, got in my car the next morning, and drove to L.A. and watched Phantom of the Opera by myself because I didn't want to live with the lie. I was like, I'll make this, and I've
you
done that.
So, this is why you're my favorite
But I've done
person.
That like 20 times. Big ticket things. I can't. I'm going to my friend's wedding in Hawaii.
And all of a sudden you make your friend get married just so you can go to a wedding in Hawaii.
I have built things out of lies, like where I just didn't want to do something. Hey, can you help me with this thing on Friday? I'm in Death Valley on Friday. Then I'm in Death Valley on Friday. I do that all the fucking time.
You might have done it to me because I'll be like, I mean, I don't ask you to hang out much, but I feel like I've been like,
I've never avoided
like,
you.
I'll be in Death Valley or something.
No, I've never avoided you.
Okay. Because, I mean, whenever I have talked to you, you are on the road. You drive.
Yeah.
You drive to avoid
yeah.
life.
In fact,
right?
I can tell you that's a great example of how therapy is helping, I believe, because ever since we had a couple of sessions about my driving, my trips are not worthwhile.
Really?
And I recognize when I'm in the car, why am I doing this? Because normally I'm just in a daze. Like, get the fuck away. Get as far away from people as possible where no one can reach me. And then I'm out in the middle of Death Valley. And I justify it with, oh, I'm really here to record a podcast or make some pictures. But the fact of the matter is I'm just escaping.
Yeah.
No one can reach me. No one can touch me out there. I don't have to have any kind of commitments to anybody. Hey, can you do this tonight? Nope. I'm in Death Valley. Can you come? You want to go to a party? Nope. I'm in Death Valley. And I've done that to the tune. My car's a 2015. It's got 137,000 miles on it. I've had 5 cars before that. Everyone I've met about 300,000 miles on it when I got them all new. And I drive no less than 1,000 miles a week. But I will say the last probably 5 to 7 trips, they have all been introspective because the entire time I'm driving, I'm like, why am I going out here? I have work to do. I have business to take care of in Los Angeles where my job is. And I have friends here. and I'm driving to Joshua Tree for no fucking reason other than to spend $100 in gas and drive out here and be angry and be weirded out and then put myself in a precarious situation like I do every single time that could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I know that,
walk into a crummy, creepy bowling alley with a video camera and try to be funny. And all the meth heads in. No, but I mean, that's no, what I'm talking about.
I know, it's
there's meth heads in there looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, my podcast people are going to think this is a hoot that I'm talking about how bad your lives are and you've got no way out. And I'm going to hop back in my Outback and come back to L.A. I might stop at Chin Chin on the way and get a Chinese chicken salad. Maybe a couple of those chocolate covered fortune cookies. But you wouldn't know about that. Congratulations on your 14-year-old girlfriend's pregnancy.
Hey, it's more than you're doing.
You know what? You're right. They're starting. They're bringing life into the world. They're probably.
But I mean, like, from knowing you the amount that I do, I knew from the get-go, the minute you said, like, oh, I'm driving here, driving there, I'm like, oh, he's just avoiding everything. He's avoiding life. Because I would do that in college. I was very antisocial in college. I was uncomfortable physically. I gained like 30 pounds, which in the scheme of it is not a lot. But for me, it really sent me into this deep depression. I became like very, I was not anorexic and I was not bulimic, but I had this like weird uncategorized type of eating disorder where I was obsessed. I was so obsessed with what I was eating that I couldn't.
Obsessed meaning like you wanted to avoid.
I was only eating, like I had like rules. I set rules for myself. I could only eat like, I could have no fast food, no pizza, nothing that brought me pleasure. I was allowed nothing. And then I would get really upset and angry because I would see all these other, you know, everyone else just being normal human beings. And I was off in my corner just being
fuck
this,
you
like,
guys. Why can't you torture yourself?
Really. And then like it got to a point, the worst that it ever got was I was out to dinner with my parents.
But wait, go back for a second. Yeah. You didn't want food that brought you joy, but you were gaining weight?
Yeah, because what I was doing was I was only eating really healthy, but I was binging on it. And so I was getting twice the amount of calories I'd get if I just got a stupid cheeseburger from McDonald's. Because I would say, okay, I'm only allowed to eat a salad.
I would make this
massive salad.
Yeah.
And I would binge on it.
Are you as blown away if you just break it down and go, isn't it? Oh God, I don't know how to put it into words. I obviously am an addict and I can't have any food in the house. None. There's not one thing to eat in my house. And there never has been.
You just get weirder by the day.
I've never cooked at home. Now that's not true because I'm sure when I was a kid.
Have you microwaved at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I microwaved oatmeal. But I've never used any pots or pans. I've never turned the stove on in my place. I never turned the stove on in the place I owned in Orange County for 7 years.
That's
never
insane.
Turned it on. My friends would come over and open the refrigerator and just go crack up because the tape was still on the drawers for the refrigerator.
Oh my God.
I lived there 7 years. The tape was still holding the fruit thing closed and stuff.
So you don't trust yourself with food?
Kristen, I will eat everything. There is no control. Same way I was with booze, anything.
Jeez.
There is no stopping. I buy two bags of I go to San Diego every other Sunday now. I used to go every Sunday, and now it's every other Sunday for family dinner, which is always a crapshoot. It might be nice. It might be a fucking nightmare like last Sunday. But I got two bags of Pop Chips, and I got Pop Chips knowing that, oh, at least they're not
super
fried.
Fatty. Yeah.
Because I'm going to eat both bags on my way to dinner.
Yeah.
And of course I did. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I've never bought ice cream and not eaten all of it in one sitting. Never. Never bought ice cream and not eaten all of it.
Because you don't, because you're not you're a very of correct size person. Do you just control what you're buying out? Like when, because for me, I don't keep a lot of food in my apartment either, but that's mostly because I can't afford it. So I'm usually just eating when I'm out and I can control what I'm.
Thought of a stupid idea. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please interrupt.
But when you said that, I was like, this is the podcast I want to hear. Same problem. Rich guy, poor guy. Perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't keep a lot of this around because of this. I don't keep a lot of that around because I can't afford it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't drive fast because I don't want to have to be slowed down by getting a ticket. But I don't drive fast.
Because
I can't
afford a
car
ticket.
Or insurance.
Right.
No, okay, that was a bad example. But it just
but
occurred to me it'd be funny to hear
one guy's
perspective or one girl's perspective.
Well, I was going to say because you drive to Death Valley and waste $100 in gas and
okay,
whatever. I would do that if I could waste $100 in gas.
Love Death Valley and those trips are not a waste. But the four trips to Joshua Tree in the last 6 weeks were a waste. One was good. I got some pictures out of it. The last three, I was too angry to record a podcast.
What makes you angry? Okay, so I'm...
Everything. Everything.
I'm working with this guy who he probably listens to the show. I know he listens to the show. His name's Glenn Rockowitz.
Mm-hmm.
He's a writer and comedian. I don't think he still does stand-up, but used to write on SNL and stuff like that. I'm reading his... I read his first book. He's writing a second book, and I'm like his reader.
What's it called?
Might is his second book. His first book's called Rodeo and Joliet.
Are you that good at editing?
No, I'm not editing. I'm just basically reading it for feedback because he has a brain like ours.
Okay. So, I thought you were like correcting grammar.
No,
stuff.
Dear God. No. He has an editor.
Because I just got super... I was like...
No, I'm not. No. I know. I'm way too dumb to do that. So I'm just giving him my feedback.
How selfish was that? I was like, oh God. Now I'm going to be stressed out if I ever post anything that you're reading and correcting. That's what I thought. I was like,
I have an editor. I have a friend who's an editor for like a magazine, mm-hmm. and I'm so paranoid when I send him a text.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I can't freaking text him now.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry. I don't look at it in text. And I'm like, well, yeah, you do. I know you do.
Of course you do, liar.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
But he has a brain very similar to ours. I don't think it's as extreme as yours. But he has a lot of anger. He had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He's had four different types of cancers. And
wow. How old is he?
He's 46.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he survived all of them. So his books are about the cancer.
People in his family die from cancer?
His father died of cancer. His father, it's a crazy story. I'm going to have him on as a guest.
Tell his whole story first.
I know, so like it ruins the podcast.
All right.
But yeah, I'll save that. But his father did die of cancer. But anyway, he gets very angry in his books.
Mm-hmm.
The way he expresses his anger is so relatable because basically I'm wondering if you get angry the same way he does. Because what happens is, and this is, I get the same angry as he does, is that it's like he tries to do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're polite, you're opening the door for someone, you're like in the thing I just read, he... you know, bought a woman's prescription at CVS for her because she couldn't afford it. And then the pharmacist was a dick to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you do everything right. And then you just explode because the world isn't working.
Absolutely.
With you.
Yeah.
Is that why you get angry? Because that's why get angry.
No, and why I get angry is not important because it's how I fix it because I don't want to go. I know why I'm angry.
Why? Is it because you're so sad you get angry? Because for me, I said this to Stevie before, I get a lot of, when I'm depressed, I get a lot of anger.
Most
I feel like
of
people
my,
aren't seeing me and they're
yes,
not feeling me.
But most of my anger is towards myself and I put it on other people
okay.
because I one of the things that will just set me off is people's egos.
Same.
Now, I have a giant ego.
Right.
So what is that about? But I don't express mine like, okay.
You don't express it like you have an ego, though. That's
the thing. Here's something that happened on my podcast that happened in real time.
Which is called
Miscellaneous Adventures from the World of Mike Carano.
That one and then the other one.
Yeah,
after
disaster.
Disaster.
But I've already mentioned this story on the, I did it live. But my podcast, I walk around and talk into my phone, and a lot of time it's anger, and I'm trying to be funny, and I'm trying not to be that bitter, because I know that's unpleasant to listen to. But it's pretty fucking blunt and honest.
Yeah, if it's
in
real,
a
it's
trying
to
be
to.
Funny way.
Yeah.
So I was looking at some guy, and my blood boiled. I went, look at that fucking douchebag in that stupid fucking hat. You think you're Bob Dylan? You zero? You fucking nothing with your fucking Bob Dylan hat? You stupid fucking stoner hippie loser asshole?
That's
you
my
fucking zero. You've done nothing, and you're wearing the hat like, oh, look at me. I'm a Americana Bob Dylan musician, and then. A couple seconds passed, and I went, I wish I could wear that hat. And I was like, oh, and I felt sick. I was like, oh, I said it came out of my mouth. I didn't think it just came out. And I went, I would like to wear that. I wish I had the guts to wear that hat.
Yeah.
And I don't. And I decided, since I don't have the balls to be you, fuck you, mm-hmm. cocksucker, get down to my level.
I have that exact thing.
It's going to kill us.
Yeah.
We're going to have strokes, and we're going to have heart attacks, and it's going to be for the most pathetic reason. This guy
it
was just
pathetic.
Jealous of
it's
everybody.
It's so childish.
Yes.
It's so dumb.
I want to get to the bottom of that, and
like,
I want to
stop
that.
We think they're the bad
that.
Ones, but we're the bad ones.
We're not. Neither one's bad. Neither one's bad.
Yeah,
you can wear whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
You want to know something?
Exactly.
20 years ago, I was in a much better place mentally than I am now, like as far as self-confidence went, but I was also 20 years younger, and I would wear whatever I wanted, and I really didn't give a shit. And I dress like a clown sometimes. I swear to God.
Sometimes.
No, but I would wear... bright orange shorts that I bought at Sears. They were probably made for Caltrans. And I thought, that's me right there. I would wear gas station shirts and cowboy hats.
That's ridiculous.
And I would just get super drunk and I would feel comfortable in that little costume all the time. I would never have the balls to put that outfit on right now because I would be like, everyone's going to look at me. Everyone's going, I don't want them to look at me. And back then I was like, yeah, fucking look at me. Fine. I don't care. And I want to get back to that to an extent. I also want to get as far away from molding anything I say or do to what's popular belief.
How did you get there to begin with when you were in the orange short space?
I took a step in high school. I was a big gutless loser. Still am.
You are not a
no,
loser.
No, but I'm gutless.
You might be gutless.
One day in high school, I just thought, I don't want to be this. And I went home and I asked my sister, can you sew me some polka dotted shorts and a polka dotted vest? And I went to a store called The Wild Bear, which was a women's clothing store. And I bought these high heel white shoes because Richie Blackmore wore boots like that. And I bought some long flowing Richie. I thought I was Richie Blackmore from Deep Purple. And I'm like, here's the new me. And I was shaking walking into school. It was
good.
So
you
unnatural.
You should have been. Good. You deserve it.
It got silence from everybody. Mm-hmm. And then I walked into my first class and the teacher went, oh my God. And from then on, it was on. I'm like, okay, at least I'm polka dot vest guy. I'm not going to wear this thing again.
Right.
But I'm going to.
You
not
have an
gonna,
identity? Is that what you were looking for?
I want that soap. I want natural, comfortable identity. And I don't ever want to be a guy that's at a park wearing Dockers with a tucked in shirt and a short haircut and looks beaten down by life. Even though they probably have much more joy than I do because they've got families and children and they've got a house.
Right, right.
And you know what? What's the point? What am I working towards? Right. I don't know. You know what I'm working towards? I'm working towards an outlet that I love. Something.
I think some people are just meant to be, not meant to be, but I think some people like you and I and whoever else are just kind of tortured souls.
Yeah.
And there's no way we're ever going to solve it. We can work to try to get a little
better,
but
we're
never going to be.
For sure we can make it better, much better. And and a big part of it is work. And I have yet to do the work. I'm lazy.
Right. I said that on another podcast. You're saying things that I've said. And my sister said to me recently, she goes, because my sister and I are so different from one another. She's.
You want to kill her?
I mean, I want to kill her just so I can have her money. Wow. Like she.
I just want to feel the knife going to somebody.
No, I love my sister. But she.
Me too. That's
she
what I'm
needs
saying.
To be busy. She doesn't over, you know, she hates oversleeping. Mm-hmm. She doesn't just lay on the couch and watch TV. She she basically has
bitch.
It together. You know, she can function. Yeah. She's a functional. Yeah. She doesn't understand not wanting to work. And so we're very opposite.
Yeah.
And so I said on a podcast, therapy I'm going to, but it never really does anything because then you have to do the work after.
Yeah.
And my sister said to me, and these podcasts were not designed for her to listen to. So I didn't know she was listening to him. And she's like, you made me so angry when you said you don't feel like doing the work to get better. She's like, face it. You got to do work. That's part of life. Do the work and get better. And I'm like, but it doesn't work like that for me. And she's like, toughen up, get it together and do the work.
She's right. But how does that sink in?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like when I'm feeling down, the last thing I feel is I don't even have energy to get up to make myself something to eat, let alone.
I know how to not be depressed.
How?
I can't do it. I've done it.
Right. That's the thing is I kind of know too, but I can't do it either.
My phone says 8 o'clock and then 8:05 meditate and then 9:15 hike. And if I get up and I sit and meditate, whether it's a win or lose, whether I feel like I accomplished anything, doesn't matter. Just calm, breathing, focus, taking my mind off of things. And then I hike and then I get a lot of work done and it's work that's fulfilling. Like if even in my bullshit improv work, if I get that done and then get a couple of things taken care of, guess what? I can sleep that night and I'm looking forward to the next day and I never follow through on all that shit. I wake up frantic, fuck this place, fuck this guy, I got to do this for this person,
because
fuck
it takes so much mental energy to do those things that you're supposed to be doing.
It also takes something that we don't have, like some source of responsibility and you know, by and large life is not fair and we expect it to be fair and it's never going to be fair, so we're going to hold resentments against it, the unfairness of it. But then there's also the other side, which you go, how come this guy gets what he wants? And then you go, oh, he does 100 times more work than I do.
Exactly. And I see that. And then I feel like a shithead because I'm not willing to do the work.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I have therapy at 1. It's 12:18.
Let's wrap it up.
But I I'm trying to do more. Stevie and I would do segments on the show.
Yeah, let's lay
second
on
half.
Let's
so I'm going to do them fast. I wanted to take more time to do them today, but we're not. So we have a thing that we do called Who's Sadder?
Okay.
Where we'd compare two people, maybe down and out.
Please don't say
type.
You or me.
Well, no, I learned my lesson because I compared Stevie and I. And
clearly
we know. Yeah,
no, that's not true.
No, it's...
Everyone's got a threshold. Kristen, people like Roy Orbison. I hate going to the same example. It's the best
my
one
listeners
I can think of.
Are like too young for Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison, legendary singer from the 50s. Of course, they know who Roy Orbison is. Pretty Woman. He's incredible.
Pretty
if you discover Roy Orbison, you're going to fall in love with him. Except for there's a couple creepy things I'm not going to bring up on right now.
Well, his name is Roy. I feel like anyone named Roy would have to be a
right.
little creepy.
Right.
You can be like Roy and be like...
It's such an unpleasant name rolling off your tongue.
Roy. Oh, it's so harsh.
Yeah. I don't like it. Mike's almost as bad.
No, it's
like
not.
Cutting.
You could do Michael.
Roy Orbison lost his entire family, including his kids, in a house fire.
Dear God.
He continued on writing, performing, recording for the rest of his life.
What a star.
Kids in high school, their girlfriend breaks up with them. They hang themselves in the garage.
Right.
So there's a threshold of...
Right.
It's there's no measurement. It's like you might be sadder. She might have just wanted to stop. Her tolerance might have been less. She might have been in so much pain you don't know.
I know.
What a stupid way for me to waste 3 minutes.
No, that made total sense.
We're going to get to the bottom of this right now.
In 3 minutes with Roy.
Can I just bring up one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
The Trump president. No.
Oh, dear God, please. No,
no, no, no,
please,
no. I'm not. It's
God,
not.
Thank you.
Something that could... be 4 more hours of nothing
talk. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just jumping into it. Who's Sadder? And this I didn't really want to do this. I'm a massive, massive Seinfeld fan. I will be my entire life.
I know you are.
Who's Sadder, Michael Richards or Randy Quaid?
Michael Richards. He's a comic. He's got to be sadder. And he seems more tormented on the inside. Randy Quaid seems like he's crazy.
I agree. And when you're crazy... You're not aware.
Yeah.
And then you're happier because you're not aware of your crazy.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. I know it's not politically correct, so I won't say it.
Say it.
Who's the happiest person on the planet?
The dumbest.
Retarded
people. Retarded people.
Yeah.
I said this also on the show with Jeff Garland, and I actually cut it out for our listeners. I said, because Jeff it was very politically incorrect, and
yeah,
I was like,
it
I
is.
Don't
it's
know.
Harsh.
It is, but I said
I
I'd rather
said mentally
be
challenged. But
I would rather be whatever it is, whatever you say, mentally handicapped, completely mentally handicapped, than somewhat in like special ed, because the kids in special ed are aware that they're in special ed.
Do you see many? I'm sure there's obviously there's got to be some weird synapse misfiring, but you look at a dog and you're like, that thing is happy.
Oh yeah,
he's happy.
My dog, they're resilient also. That's the thing. It's like you could have a dog that was abused and all of a sudden he's got love and he's back, baby.
Yeah.
You know, like my dog, he's a nut job, but when I'm around and he's sad, I mean, he's so happy, but he clearly was super abused.
Yeah.
But the minute he's got a treat and his mommy, he's just like the happiest thing that's ever lived.
And you go, that dog has no concerns. It's not worried about what its fur looks like today. It's not worried about where it's
at
in
its
dog career.
That's what I'm also jealous about. Animals don't know what they look like.
Yeah, yes, I know.
And they don't have to pick out clothes. I am just so jealous of that. They will have, like, my dog has no concept that his ears are the most idiotic looking things on the planet.
Yeah, and you want him to carry that burden that you would carry if you had his ears?
No, I'm saying I want.
You want him to share?
I don't want him to share the burden. I want to have his level of burden, which is nothing. Like, I want to not be aware of my ears.
You know what? I don't know if we can, but that's sort of what I'm striving towards. And I'll tell you, big step is right here. I would have never worn fucking flip-flops in my life. I was like,
not a flip-flop guy.
No, but I'm like, they're the stupidest looking shoes. I don't want to look
at
your gross toes, you fucking pig.
Right.
And now I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
I dare you. I'm almost ready to walk into Starbucks barefoot.
Well, I really love...
I'm never going to do that.
Please don't. But I really love the comedian Sebastian. I don't...
Maniscalco?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he does that talk about like people wearing flip-flops and like looking at their toes and like dressing down at the airport. And,
it's gross.
Yeah. That's why I would never picture you as a flip-flop guy.
I'm not.
But
this is lazy guy, unshowered. My laziness...
No, it does not supersede my laziness. Believe me. Okay, I'm going to do another
Who's Sadder. I sat down last night coming over the hill. I put on socks and one shoe, and I couldn't find my shoehorn. I was putting on high tops.
You have a shoehorn?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh my God,
love
you
it.
Are lazy.
Love it. Love
that
it.
Someone did a stand-up bit about a shoehorn and how unnecessary...
Nope.
A shoehorn.
I will not.
It was so dumb.
They are the best buy a shoehorn right now and send me an email if you don't like it, and I will reimburse you.
Do not buy a shoehorn.
Shoehorns are the fucking best. I gave them out for Christmas last year to everybody. Every single person went, I never thought I would buy this or need it. I love it. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. I would prefer someone buy an actual horn.
I bought everybody fancy pants leather engraved shoehorns for Christmas, and every single person.
We don't need it. You're wearing flip flops.
No, but I'm saying last night I put on one of the boots, and the other one I was too lazy to untie it all the way down, and I couldn't find the shoehorn, and I'm like, fuck it, new shoes.
I should have a who's lazier segment also instead of just who's sadder.
But I'm only lazy in certain ways. Like,
same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Lazy in ways that'll help me personally, and exactly. I'm sure you're the same way.
Yeah. Well, someone said they hire, like, I don't know if it was like NASA or something, but like some really smart company was like, we hire lazy people because they always find the shortest route to do something, the shortest, most efficient way to do something.
Yeah. It was, hey, back to this other thing real fast.
Yeah.
Don't you find hope and a great relief in being like a dog where it's like, I really, like in your heart, you don't care.
Yeah.
And don't you also find that when somebody, and I'm not talking in a crazy way, like I just peed on myself because I don't care what you think and I'm not walking all the way to the bathroom and it's going to dry anyway and it came out of me, so it's good. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like when I see people that have true, not cocky self-confidence, it is incredibly appealing. And I don't just mean like in a way, like I'm attracted to her.
They're just okay with themselves.
Yeah, it's so appealing. Because that my first girl, that girlfriend I told you about that became gay, would just dress like an idiot. And I was like, I just love that. Like she doesn't care.
Yeah.
And she would wear two pairs of glasses at the same time. And I was like.
Like both? Like needing, like
she would wear
one
glasses
the other,
and
one
then
on
she would put her
and
sunglasses
her
over them. And she just didn't care. Wow. And I was like, that's weird. She's like, I don't care. Yeah. And I was like,
as long as they don't really care and they're not trying to be eccentric or weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's something that I can get on board with.
But
if they're trying to get attention, then I'm like,
I love
stop.
Old guys that don't care. And then there's a point where I'm disgusted by it, like when it's the rich old shipping magnate.
Yeah, no.
And he's on his boat with his giant, gross, hairy gut sticking out. His super hot 20-year-old model girlfriend.
Yeah. I'm he like, should care.
He should care.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have the personality to not care.
Yeah.
He sucks.
He should care.
Someone that actually doesn't care is my dad, in a way. My dad is so cool.
Your parents still married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad is like, not that he doesn't care about his appearance. He does kind of care about his appearance. He's 68. He's an older guy now. But he doesn't care in terms of trying to compete with the world. He does not
God
care.
Damn,
he's like,
I want
life,
that so much.
He's like,
I
life's the
that.
Same wherever you go. You know, he'll see people on TV on vacation, like in the Bahamas or something. He's like, they're doing what I'm doing, which is laying around. He just doesn't get the why people are trying so hard all the time.
Kind of full circle to the beginning of the podcast. That's one of the things I want to be so much is not in competition. And so I act like I'm not in competition, but I secretly am in competition.
Same.
And I hate that.
I had to unfollow someone on Instagram recently because every time I saw how cool she was, just naturally cool. Yeah. It made me feel uncool. And like I would try to like post something to be cool. Yeah. Finally, I'm like, I got to just X this out. This is just not good. All right. I literally have like 4 minutes left.
All right, let's do it.
So there's a, we do a segment called F Dat Shit. Okay. It originally started because Stevie sent me an article on something from a mental hospital and she wrote fuck that shit.
Okay.
And so anyway, this doesn't really have to do with mental hospital at all. It's just some information. But this is an article that just came out.
I hope to God I get to say F that shit about some smarter
doctors. You can
doctors.
Say it about everything. No, you can say this. Yeah, this is researchers.
Is there anything more ignorant in life than when some when some really smart person states a fact and someone else goes, fuck that shit.
Such a good argument.
Well,
though.
That the brain cancer you've got obviously came from this chemical and this chemical. Fuck that. You should
brain
stop cancer's drinking.
Gone.
You should stop drinking Slurpees because that's what's causing your problems with that back tooth. Fuck that shit, doctor.
Those are those meth heads playing that were bowling that you saw the other day.
I've come to realize that those little towns that I used to be so attracted to, that I'm kind of attracted to them because of the people that are there, and it's because of the hopeless.
They don't care.
But when I was a kid,
I also
lived
said that
in
another podcast. I feel like you're stealing everything.
No, they do care.
Said.
They do care, but they're trapped. And I felt trapped when I was a kid. I felt trapped in San Diego, and then I felt trapped in this other place.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the cult that you were brought up in.
But that had a lot of influence because I was trapped there.
Yeah.
And I go back to those kind of places. Okay, move on.
So you were in a cult. So for everyone, you have to come back on so we can talk more because you're such a weirdo. Okay. This is just a study that came out that said the bacteria in our gut is incredibly attached to the motions in our brains. And they'd never actually figured that out until recently, because they tested it in rats or something like that a long time ago. But now it's been confirmed that.
Did you think what I'm thinking, which is the first thing I'm going to do is drink some bleach?
Clear out all those bad bacteria.
I mean, literally, yeah. I'm thinking about what can I eat that's different, see if I can change my brain.
Right, right.
Like right now, I'm like,
that
okay, if I drive
to Vegas, it will kill you.
No, I'm so not. I didn't mean literally bleach, but I meant like I'm going to change my whole diet right now to see if it changes my brain.
Well, what it is you need to eat probiotics and get good bacteria in your stomach. So basically, in this research thing that they did, they tested a bunch of women, and the women who had higher levels of the specific bacteria in their gut called Prevotella, which is a bad bacteria, mm-hmm. the women who had higher levels of that showed greater connectivity between emotional response, having higher negative emotional responses to negative images. Like they responded more intensely and had more negative feelings toward negative
images. Like they were more sensitive to it, yeah. or they were inappropriately responding, like they were too emotional about something.
It said these women appear to experience profoundly negative emotions, including those related to distress and anxiety when viewing negative images.
How negative were the images?
It doesn't say what the images were. They were probably images of me and you, and those were super negative images.
They're like the aura coming off those two people.
And then the second group, they had bacteria called bacteroids, which is healthier bacteria. They had very different type of brain responses. So the frontal cortex and insula regions of the brain linked to problem solving and complex information processing had more gray matter, which I guess is a good thing. So these subjects, in contrast to the other ones, were less likely to experience negative emotions when being shown negative imagery. So basically, the article says, it merely proves that a strong correlation between cognition and the gut microbiome exists. I clearly know how to read that word.
How big do you think that focus group was?
It was probably pretty small, because it says 33 of the women had the good bacteria and 7 of the women had the bad bacteria.
And they came into this study with that bacteria.
Random sample of women.
Okay.
I don't think they gave them the good or bad, and they tested the bacteria in their
stomach.
Doesn't
that just seem like a long way around to figure something out? That
yeah, it does. Everything's just a long way to waste time until we die. But anyway.
Correct.
So I don't know the exact... I was trying to look up how to get better bacteria, or like how to get that specific bacteria. I really couldn't find anything. But basically, you just have to have probiotics in your diet.
Okay.
Which is... yogurt,
yes,
stuff like that. Yakult is like a thing. I didn't bring up the word Yakult just to say Yakult.
I see that word probiotics on a lot of stuff in Whole Foods now.
Yeah, and, it's kombucha.
Kombucha, yeah.
And I used to work for a kombucha company, and a lot of kombucha. I did, yeah.
And did you feel anything?
I didn't feel super depressed. But I also associated that with the fact that I was getting paid a lot of money full time. Yeah. I was working very little to get paid very well.
Yeah,
I was working from home basically. And I just associated it with a positive time because I had money and I didn't have to struggle. But I, at the same time, was drinking tons
of kombucha.
Are you going
to go get some probiotics after this? Like
I am, actually.
Me too.
No, I really am.
Me too.
The problem is, though, I can't really do yogurt. Yogurt's more affordable because kombucha is really expensive. Mm-hmm. But yogurt, I have like super sensitivity to dairy. So mm-hmm. if I eat yogurt, all of a sudden I'm all bloated and like farty.
Well,
so it's either, and then that will make me sad. It will offset the good
bacteria.
That will
make you sad. That'll just make you
frustrates me.
Uncomfortable.
Okay, and then the last thing I want to talk about, which I did want to make this
longer.
Well,
what are your plans for the day?
I have
where
to,
you can't be bloated and farty.
I drive for Uber sometimes.
Yeah, that's not a good thing
to
be.
And you can't fart in your own car when you're driving for Uber.
Is that one of the rules? Also,
that would
please don't fart in your own car.
Yeah, when you get hired, they ask you your history with flatulence. Okay, and then we would do a thing called depression impression, where we talk about someone who had depression in society or whatever. So Betty Page,
mm-hmm.
Old pinup model.
Yes.
She basically made that look with the short bangs.
I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, you know her.
I went to her gravesite.
Did you really? Where is it?
She's buried right across from Farrah Fawcett.
Where? The forgettable Farrah Fawcett compared to Michael Jackson?
It is I started to build the story up too much about how I discovered it, because it's obviously public knowledge, this grave.
Yeah, I saw it on the internet, but I didn't see what cemetery it was.
I just randomly sometimes wake up at 4 in the morning and go searching for things, and I came upon that cemetery. It's in Westwood. I was just walking the alleys. I'm not kidding. I take a video camera and my phone.
Oh, yeah, it said it was Westwood, yeah.
And
It's off of an alley behind a movie theater. There is no sign.
It's called
Pierce Brothers Cemetery. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a little cemetery amongst the towering buildings.
So random.
There's like not skyscrapers.
I have heard of it. No, it's like it's like Constellation where all the talent agencies are, right?
I don't think so. It's more condos. But it is a, if you look at it on Google Maps, there was just a plot of grass. You're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, so
and that's kind of how I went there. I knew there was a cemetery.
Yeah.
And I could not believe it because I walk in and there's Betty Page. Roy Orbison is buried in their secret grave. Frank Zappa is buried in their secret grave. The guy showed me where they were. I had no idea that I was going to run into Jack Lemmon's grave.
You ran into actual Jack Lemmon.
Rodney Dangerfield are next to each other. Fanny Bryce, like the first female comedian, is buried there. I saw her grave. And then I'm walking around. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Why
What's the name of the cemetery?
Pierce Brothers. I was like, why is this not more popular on tours? Because there was nobody in there. I was the only guy in there.
Well, there were a lot of ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know you don't believe in that stuff
But
either,
guess right? who I guess whose grave is there right for everyone to see? That I'm like, why isn't this more famous? Marilyn Monroe.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. Well, I saw Frank Sinatra's grave, which is out in Palm Springs. And it's just like super, you know, inconspicuously like small.
Okay, I'm going to that.
Yeah,
going
it's to that. He's buried next to his parents. It's nothing special. It's just crazy. But it is a big cemetery in Palm
Springs. We're still focusing on the being special after we die.
Right.
Well, wait till you see what I got going on.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's it for Frank Sinatra? And I felt so
And then
so
you go
depressed.
To Hollywood Forever and you see some Russian guy that no one's ever heard of and
With
he's got
his
fucking
on
car.
It.
Right. Yeah, or a 20-foot statue of him in a stupid suit making a gang sign.
Right, I know. Believe me. Well, when I saw the Frank Sinatra grave, it felt so sad because I love Frank. I love that time period. I love crooners. And it's like, it was so vibrant and alive. And now here he is with this grave that's not even like a headstone above the ground. It was in the grass.
Hey, humility.
And that's it. Yeah. And he's dead and it's over.
And Dean Martin's buried next to Marilyn Monroe, like one little room over. And it just says Dean Martin.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So Betty Page, she ended up really going off the wall a bit. She in 1979.
The Vans logo
off the wall.
Sorry,
that was young listeners will get that reference. That was good. In 1979, she stabbed an elderly couple with a serrated bread knife, and she ended up doing a 20-month stay at Patton State Asylum.
I had no idea.
She kind of like lost it, and then she was diagnosed with acute paranoid schizophrenia, which means a previously held, like the acute basically means it's a fast onset of the paranoid schizophrenia. In 1982, then she tried to kill her landlord. She stabbed her 20 times. The landlord didn't die, but
when was the heyday of her career as a pinup? 50s or 40s?
Her first pinup calendar was done in 1947.
Okay.
So this is a long time after. She died in 2008, I believe.
Okay, so she had a lot of bitterness rolling up in there, and she also wasn't...
She went totally like... she had no money.
Yeah.
She had was getting no royalties from her images and all that kind of stuff, so she was broke.
You know who else? And I don't think she was bitter like that, but the girl who was Vampyra. Before
who's Vampyra?
Elvira.
Oh.
There was Vampyra.
I know Elvira.
Elvira copied her. 100%.
Oh,
now,
no. Poor
I'm
Vampyra.
Hesitant to say that because I love Cassandra Peterson.
Yeah.
But Vampyra, who was in the Ed Wood movies and stuff, and who did the exact same thing, hosted a horror show, was very famous.
Got
and,
nothing.
Dana Gould pretty much befriended her at the end of her life and kind of made sure everything was all right.
Well, with Betty Page, Hugh Hefner, at the end of her life, he didn't know that she had no money and everything, so he hooked her up with like some agents and managers or something like that, so they ended up getting her money for her later years. But then she died of a heart attack. It said a heart attack on her Wikipedia, but then it also said like something else. But she ended up becoming a very devout Christian.
Well we're all looking for something.
Well, it's like I tweeted this before. I was watching a true crime show and they said she rediscovered religion. But she was nuts. So I said it was more like when you rediscover religion, it's not that you rediscover religion, it's that you discover crazy. It's kind of we're like, because you're on your way out, I feel like, when you're trying to discover religion.
We all need comfort, whether it's going to church, whether it's going to an AA meeting, whether it's hanging out with friends, going to a bar, getting drunk, taking drugs, whatever it is. We're all looking for comfort, and right. people finally get desperate, and they go, it's the Bible now.
Yeah.
Because I it's in my apartment.
Yeah.
I can read it.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yep. That said, you should go to that cemetery, though.
I should. That's really cool.
There's some
cool.
great stuff there.
You know what I want to do? Do you like, there's a thing called Dearly Departed Tours in LA.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of that? I want
to
do it.
I'd love to do it.
I did one with the Black Dahlia murder.
Yeah.
It was really cool, but I ended up having a dream about her that night because they basically drained her of all her blood mm-hmm. and she was basically cut and severed in half. And I had a dream that her body was floating over mine that night. Like her empty, dead, ghostly like corpse that was drained of all her blood was floating over me. It was very disturbing, but I do want to do it. I had that dream. Basically, what I'm saying is it affected me a lot, but I do want to do another one. So we should go sometime.
Okay.
But I have to go to therapy now.
You got it.
I feel like you should go to therapy.
I have to go home. I'm going to put this together. Then I'm going to get on the road and drive to Las Vegas.
Don't avoid. Go there if you actually want to go there.
I'm going there mostly to avoid, but I'm also going there for the Star Trek convention, even though it's been boring awesome. The last couple of years.
That's awesome.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for doing my show. You're coming back because I think you're amazing.
Okay.
So I'm trying to do episodes every Thursday. It was Tuesday. I'm going to do Thursday probably now for a little bit. I do want to get back to Tuesday, but thanks for listening. Be sure to rate and comment. And you can follow me on Twitter at Kristen Carney or on Instagram at Chris Carr. And you can also follow our Twitter for the podcast, which is at Chill Mentally. And then on Instagram is Mentally Chill Pod. So anyway, we will see you next week, and thanks for listening.